What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast. More in pitching podcasts from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 11th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Dustin May is the number five for the Dodgers. Yes, I want him everywhere in my drafts in the later rounds. I think he's a steal. Tony Gonsolin was delayed because of a weightlifting quote hiccup. And you have Bobby Miller delayed, of course, with a terrible comebacker to the head. Justin Rybalski is now the SP number six, by the way, in Dodgers line, which is kind of interesting. Brian Bayo's report to only need about one or two extra starts to be missed in season, which means he'd be back around like April 21st or something like that. It could still work with Fitz or Priester, whoever win that job out of camp, if they're doing so well. Maybe they go to a sixth man, maybe they ease Bayo in. So don't really worry too much about that if you are super enthused about Fitz at the moment. I think honestly, after we see Fitz in his next start, we'll feel one way or another. It can mean that Brian Bayo is a really good value in 15 teamers though, because yeah, he should be solid as a win option. Also quality start leagues, I think Bayo does have that arsenal. That said, he is one of those guys that needs to figure out his arsenal a bit better, Bayo, and not having this spring is going to affect him, I believe. So I'm, for the most part, away on Bayo still. And yes, Gerrit Cole will undergo Tommy John surgery. It is confirmed. We can stop talking about it now. Will Warren is in that rotation, and he's only a 15-teamer target right now. I don't think you need to go after that in 12-teamers. All right, looking at yesterday's game with data, speaking of Will Warren, 3.2 innings, one run, two hits, one walk, one strikeout. He didn't really look that great. So, yeah. Kenta Maeda allowed three home runs, but Evan Petzold, friend of the pod, he put out this great tweet showcasing that two of those home runs would have gone out in only one of 30 ballparks, and the other home run would have gone out in just two of 30. So a little bad luck there for Maeda. He's still at 91, though. He's not at 92, 93, as we saw in that first outing. And what I think actually is going to happen here for Maeda is he's going four innings here, so the Tigers are likely going to start him with Jackson Job piggybacking. They did this a bit last year with Brand Herder and Tyler Holton, and they really got through the season like this, Keter Montero, etc. And it works out perfectly for trying to limit Jackson Job's innings throughout the year. So they don't have to push him out of the gate really hard. They just say, great, Kenta Maeda, give us like three innings or so, maybe four, and then Job would come in for three after that or something along those lines. I would imagine Kenta Maeda won't be going a full five, and I would think they'd also start with Maeda and then lead into Job. So to just make it easier for Job, I would think. That still makes me intrigued on Jackson Job, because you get the benefit of still getting wins early on during the limited time, and then you get Job full on after that, especially after his warm-up at the start of the year. This is all speculation, though, and I think it's the smartest thing for the Tigers to do, but we'll see how this plays out, especially with them being aggressive on Job getting those starts. Kevin Gausman, 2.1 innings of 300 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. He struck out the side early, but here's the thing with Gausman. I've heard some hype about him say like, hey, this new slider grip, which is important. He throws harder with it. He's up 2 ticks with it. It's great. Still at 85. He did go 3-for-9 whiffs, but I'm not really seeing this as like a major pitch for him moving forward. And it went 1-for-19 whiffs on his signature splitter. That's the thing. You can't have good Gausman without that splitter cooking. So yeah, I'm out on Kevin Gausman. You have Jake Bloss, though. I'm not out on Jake Bloss. 3 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, 5 Ks. He actually went opposite the Astros, which is kind of cool. That was a team he was traded from in the middle of last year in the Kikuchi deal. And he's going 9-for-15 whiffs with his slider. That's so cool. It was perfectly spotted to right-handers down and away. He has a 94-95 mile per hour fastball instead of the 93-94 that we saw last year. 17 plus inches of vert on it, a decently flat attack angle, and 7 feet of extension. This is a good fastball, a good slider. The question then becomes, all right, are you going to be able to obviously command those two pitches well? But more so, what is your attack against left-handers? Jake Bloss, again, with his curveball and his changeup, I don't know if they're enough. And is he going to be able to lean into actually some of that cut action that he has in the four-seamer too to get inside on lefties? I haven't seen that yet, and I don't really think he will. So it might still be a little shaky for Bloss initially, but I think as a dynasty play, I'm in on Jake Bloss. And he is the SP6 right now in Toronto. Yariel Rodriguez, yeah, that is not really the thing. It's Jake Bloss. To me, he was really the major pull for Kikuchi. So pay attention to that at least when he comes up this year. You don't need to jump on it right away, but it might be a situation that he's starting to do the things that we like, and then we roll in on Bloss. We have Yoshinomo. You have Moto. No, he's not going high upstairs with his four-seamer. And guess what? It was 1/27 whiffs. And only 3 of them were in the upper third of the zone. and they got hit hard. Ugh, gosh, our ex-WOBA said over 500 on it. I don't know. I mean, it was great. It was a great outing. I shouldn't be upset. I'm sure there's so many people like, stop talking about this, Nick. He's good. Five innings, one run, four hits, one walk, seven Ks. Why do you do this? Because I think that there's a more sustainable blueprint for Yamamoto. That's what I see, where you don't have to allow that hard contact on your fastball. Wouldn't that be cool? But fine. I mean, yeah, he's still very good. Don't start him in the Tokyo series. Don't start any of the pitchers in the Tokyo series. We learned from this last year in the Korea series. These guys are still in spring. They're going to be limited. It's not a good play, essentially, to do that. Now, we have Michael King, 2.2 innings, 300 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, 1K. He didn't look like his best self. He was precise in that his pitches were in the same locations consistently, but they weren't accurate. That is, he wasn't hitting the spots that he wanted. They all just went to the same spot. That was wrong. So I think that does get tweaked. And I know Michael King last year actually didn't have his sweeper feel early, and then he got it starting in the beginning of May. I think Michael King will get there. You have Hunter Green looking absurd. 4 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 5 strikeouts. He sat 97.7 last year. Right now it's 99.3. What? You're up 1.6 ticks on the fastball? Why? You don't need to do that. What is cooler to me is that Hunter Green was 14.5 inches vert in 2023, and that went up 2 inches last year to 16.5, but now it's 17.1. So that with the velocity is obviously insane. His previous game, he went 16 for 16 strikes with his slider. He's in such a good place right now. I feel good about Hunter Green. I'm going to be raising him up my rankings. This is clearly a guy who is figuring things out in more time. So, yeah, I've been too low on him. Mitch Keller is not one of those, though. 3.1 innings of 300 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks. Yeah. Just keep in mind, by the way, when I say I'm going to be moving him up, I'm going to update my top 100 starting pitcher rankings on Wednesday. Join us live at 2:15 p.m. Eastern Time on Playback.tv. Also, there's a really fun surprise for everybody who is following the Playback.tv channel. If you follow that, you're going to enjoy opening day. That's what I can say right now over a podcast. The dream is coming true, guys. You definitely want to be joining us for Playback this year. It's a different experience unlike anywhere else. All right. Braxton Ashcraft also pitched for the Pirates. Don't draft Mitch Keller, of course. Braxton Ashcraft is a prospect for the Pirates. He went 2 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. He hurls 96, but it's kind of empty velocity without anything else behind it that we like with shape and extension, etc. And there is a flirtation of 90 mile per hour sliders, so that is like 89.8 or something. And you didn't really locate them beautifully. There were strikes, though, and I'll take that. It's just I need more from Ashcraft for me to really jump in there. Matt Bowman, I only write about him because he started this game for the Orioles and went 1.2 innings with 4 Ks, but it's high 90s. High 90 mile per hour cutters. No, I'm not in on that. Sonny Gray and Matthew Liberatore went for the Cardinals. 4 innings, 4 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. And I'm not really concerned about this. I'm not drafting him, but like, don't worry about it. Sonny Gray, he finds his rhythm and then he's great for a while and that's cool. Matthew Liberatore, though, I'm really disappointed about because he was up to 96 plus and now he's at 94.5. And this was supposed to be the time for him to seize a rotation spot with Andre Pallante looking bad. But if he's doing that with only 1 over 22 whiffs on cutters and sliders and going 2.2 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 1 strikeout, doesn't really help his cause, and nor does it really make me feel as if Liberatore is going to do something special. Now, there is a guy that multiple people reached out to me about, and it was Griffin Canning, having a performance yesterday of 3.2 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 5 strikeouts for the Mets yesterday as he's in the rotation. How do I feel about this? Well, I'll tell you after this break. Well, I'm not super enthused. I mean, the changeup is different. He's getting 2 extra inches of vertical drop on that. That's good. There's a little extra horizontal sweep to that slider as well. But the four-seamer is 92-93, and he used it 42% of the time and got a 17% swing strike rate on it, which is not common. And not something we should expect for Griffin Canning moving forward. And last year, really, the slider and the changeup both had moments, and they both like looked generally fine, but he puts it too far in the zone too often, and Canning allows too many hits on these pitches. ICR rates on them are high, and the four-seamer should not be this effective. I'm not seeing enough gains here from Canning. Unless his command is all of a sudden fixed and he's a stud command guy, I just can't go in because he's not going to be that stud, Kamenga. Come on, that's not going to be. He's not really sustainable. He's a streamer in 12 teamers, essentially, in my book. You have Pablo Lopez, and this game had all this data that was corrupted for like 40 pitches or so. So 3 innings, 4 runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, and 2 Ks. In my interpretation, is that Pablo Lopez is just figuring out moving towards third base a bit more and isn't really getting to his extension side, his glove side, a lot against right-handers. So I'm not seeing sweepers go where they're supposed to. He's not really getting the separation of both sides of the plate effectively at the moment. I'm not too concerned about it. I don't have Pablo Lopez as high as others, though. I don't have him like at 12 or something like that, but I have him in that range of like your Justin Steele and your Spencer Schwellenbach and Tanner Bibee, those types. Because he should go every 5 days, he should get volume, he should get strikeouts, and he should have solid ratios, right? That's Pablo Lopez. Sandy Alcantara, 2.2 innings of 0 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. He's tooling that slider, and it wasn't a good-looking Sandy start from the data, but yeah, he was obviously fine. The slider isn't there yet, but he's at 97+, so this is cool. Yankees, come on, go trade for Sandy Alcantara and make my day. And then Will Warren's out of the rotation. Sorry, guys. Okay. I will actually mention that about the Will Warren stuff. There is a chance that they go and get someone else. Kyle Gibson, even. Could be Carlos Carrasco as the number 5 for the Yankees just because they have options with Will Warren. And Carlos Carrasco is someone that they have to release if they aren't going to add him to the 40-man. So it's, yeah, or not the 40-man, but the actual team. They might do that for just like a couple starts because they'd have zero depth and might as well get some starts from Carrasco now and then get Will Warren after instead of Will Warren now. And then when you need something, you have nothing. So I think that might be what they do. I know it's crazy, but whatever. Mitchell Parker, 4 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He got 5/10 slider whiffs and I was so excited. And 0 thrown against righties. Because if you remember me and Mitchell Parker, it was, I think you have the slider that you need to throw more against right-handers. He didn't do that. It was splitters and some curveballs. I don't really think they're that great. While the slider was obviously effective against left-handers, 61% usage there. So that's cool. At least you're doing that effectively, but I don't really see enough here for Mitchell Parker for me to jump in at the moment. Tristan McKenzie, we finally got some more data on him. 3.2 innings of 200 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. Not as good of a start at a results standpoint. However, 93.6 on the heater, which isn't 94.5, but it was over 60 pitches this time. And we've seen like 91, 92 from McKenzie before. So 93 to 94 is great. We are happy with that velocity for Tristan McKenzie. I mean, he's at 91 in the brief time we saw him in 2024. So there's that. The four-seamer control was generally better. He had a near 70% strike rate. And his slider is still chaotic where it's like, is it high? Is it middle? Is it low? I don't know. He did go 4/12 whiffs on that. He also got 4/15 whiffs on his curve, which was mostly against left-handers. And that's cool too. He's actually spying that well. I can see how this works for Tristan McKenzie. I am not going to sit here and tell you that he's not going to be a cherry bomb. Or really, I guess this year it's a hipster heading inducing pitcher stifling the entire roster. He's not going to be at that cherry bomb level of you being okay dealing with his volatility. So I'd say 15 teamers you can go after this because he does have a rotation spot and everything. 12 teamers, I feel like they're just better bets. Like Grant Holmes is not getting rostered right now. And yes, that is a much better guy to go and target. Shota Imanaga is going to be a little bit lower in my rankings, I believe. 4.1 innings of 4 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. His heater was down 2 to 3 ticks to like 88. And he didn't have the same vert that we saw last year, like 18 plus. Now, that said, it did go down as the season went on a bit, and that was fine. He had a great time, even after that amazing explosion of 6 weeks for Imanaga. Just remember, it was like 2 starts that were bad for Imanaga last year, of like one of 9 earned runs, another of 7 or something. And that was it. It's kind of like Bailey Ober in this. We all want to say it's Bailey Ober's thing, but not Imanaga's. I don't know. Regardless, Imanaga still had an effective four-seamer in this one. And the splitter was hung a little bit more than usual. The sweeper was more in the middle of the zone. Like, I think the Imanaga is just in the spring, and don't worry about this too much at the moment. But if we see this sticking over past the Tokyo series, by the way, you should not be starting Imanaga, as I mentioned before. If we see it then, like, he probably will get banged up against the Dodgers, and then his stock is going to drop before the start of the season, and I probably will jump on that. Jordan Wicks. This is so confusing. Why did they do this? Four innings of 3 earned runs. Why don't they just talk to each other and change their names? Four innings of 0 earned runs for Jordan Wicks. 3 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. His vert is roughly down to 15 inches, which isn't good. It has some cut action, but I don't like that. Now the velocity is up like a little bit, like a tick or so, to 93 to 94. And he was able to go for 12 for 44 whiffs with changeups and four seamers combined. That's cool. And that's kind of what got us excited about Wicks in the first place, is that, hey, you know, the Blake Snell blueprint of fastballs up and slow stuff down. But nothing else is really exciting me, and I feel that four-seamers shouldn't get that many whiffs. I don't know. I feel like he needs to be perfect for this to work out. And by the way, those 12 whiffs converted to 2 strikeouts. Not really the best the best blueprint here from Jordan Wicks. Chris Bubich, oh man, 3 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 0 strikeouts. Not a great day. He had 93 mile per hour fastballs. That's cool. And a 1.5 height adjusted VAA. And that stuff is sticking from his time as a reliever. And that's great, because we normally see a velocity drop. We're not really seeing that in 93. And that's awesome. But boy, was his command not there. Slider and changeup, which was all over the place. His four seamer was not leaning upstairs. I want it to be upstairs, but he's kind of going cut inside two right-handers. And no, you got to get it upstairs and really lean into this flat attack angle and send up the changeup down. It's not quite there for Bubich. I'm hoping to see a start that he does click pretty soon. Michael Lorenzen, 3 innings and 1 earned run and 1 strikeout. Yes, he's a Toby and he's still around and whatever. Ben Lively, 4 innings of 0 earned runs, 3 Ks and 4 base runners. You might want Ben Lively in a 15 teamer. I think everyone's kind of just saying last year was super lucky, and it was. And also, there were certain things about how he pitched with his four-seamer and sinker that led to weaker contact than you think for Ben Lively. So, yeah, he could be like a 4 ERA and a 120 whip, which is somewhat valuable in a 15-teamer for a team that wins games. Just putting it out there. Kobe Allard exists. Okay. Herman Marquez exists. Fine. The Giants, we finally got data on Hayden Birdsong. 3 innings, 0 runs, 0 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks, and it was not what I wanted. Ugh, we got 0 walks, sure. The control is better, but the command is not. It's the same Birdsong of like north and south, with some fastballs good and some bad. And then you have, and this wasn't on TV, unfortunately, so I can't watch it, but this was sliders that were backed up. That is arm side against right-handers. No. It's just frustrating for me, because I feel like Birdsong has the stuff to make this work. And over the top, I do want to say, can be very easy to tweak, but the timing is just really off for Birdsong. And he has to find a way, I think, to get lower is really what the thing is. Some guys stay too high up and they don't get that drive straight that allows them to really nail into the glove. But yeah, this is the way it is. And unfortunately, I know the lines have been amazing. It's 3 perfect innings with 4 Ks, but this is not the Birdsong that I trust to be sustainable. Logan Webb pitched to 4.2 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. He didn't use his changeup that much, sub 30% to left-handed batters and barely to right-handers. And it's kind of cool that he's messing around with things. It's like cutters and changeups to lefties with sinkers and sliders and sweepers to righties. And that could work. So I'm still relatively in on Logan Webb. Chris Sale didn't look good. 3.1 innings of 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. And Joe Boyle was on the other side, and I was able to finally watch him. Okay, 3 innings, 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. That doesn't look very good, but watching it, the first 2 innings were great. And at first, I thought that his mechanics have changed. I think they have. At first, I thought it was the Lucas Giolito arm circle change, and it's not quite, but it does look like there's less movement overall. And those first 2 innings, like, those were darts to the glove at 99 miles per hour, much less overall chaos of where is it going. Here's a giant miss this way and that way. And yeah, by the third inning, when he actually had runners on, he did open up more, and he wasn't able to find his fastball center nearly as well. But this cutter that he has, which is like 93 to 95. Actually, the cutter is at 90 or so. No, I think I got this right. I don't remember. It's like 90 to 95. He's got these 2 pitches, okay? One is a changeup that he struck out Albies on twice. That was filthy, down and away. And then he has this cutter that's his glue. I mean, when he was trying to find strikes, it was the cutter that got him there. and I believe in this. This is much better Joe Boyle than I ever expected to see. Something he did with this, he quieted what he does with his mechanics and is much more focused on staying straight and through it. And that adds velocity, believe it or not, because if you are going, at a different angle instead of staying completely 100% behind the ball and everything, then yeah, you're going to lose velocity and it's going to be more left, right, and whatever. I like this. And here's the thing, guys. The Rays SP5, who is it? Is it Zach Littell? Well, he hasn't really thrown that much. Drew Rasmussen, we've been like, I don't know, where is he? And just kind of quietly ignoring the fact that Joe Boyle is now stretched out to 3 innings and 49 pitches. That might be the case. So pay attention to Joe Boyle. There is your big sleeper right now. I know it sounds crazy because I've been so out on Joe Boyle, but this is a different one. And we were hoping that maybe the Rays would fix him. I was like, no, not a chance. But actually, maybe. And he might get start. I know it's crazy, but yeah, it's there. Chase Silseth, 4 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. At least he exists. That's cool. I hope he gets stretched out a little bit more and finds that feel again. But right now, no. Reed Demers, 4 innings of 0 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks. I am not falling for this again. No way. 15 teamers, fine. He has starts and he'll get you strikeouts. Okay. But this is going to be so risky and I can't do this. Antonio Sensatella against the Rockies against the Angels. 4 innings of 1 run, 2 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. That's pretty cool, Sensei. Look at you. The other games are all no data nor TV. So Severino pitched in with Sevy. JT Ginn went after, and there's nothing really to go after here. Martin Perez, sure, whatever. Bryce Wilson, though, followed for 3 innings. 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks. And why does that matter? Because I'm starting to realize that Shane Smith might be the number 5 in Chicago for the White Sox. Because he's a 40-man, rule 5. He's a rule 5 pick, is what I should say. And they might have to give him back to the Brewers if they don't start him. They don't have him on the roster. But it's Bryce Wilson in the way. You want to hold on to Shane Smith if you're the White Sox. Yeah, he's throwing harder now. And it's like 96 to 98 or something like that. I think Shane Smith might get this rotation spot. I'm just throwing that out there. Tobias Myers, speaking of Milwaukee, 2.1 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. Not great. And really the main thing for Myers for me was development of the changeup. I didn't see it in the other game. I don't really think that it was here. So I'm kind of out on Tobias Myers. Shinosuke Ogasawara, 3.2 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 2 Ks. Michael Soroka has that number 5 spot. And Ogasawara, I don't know what they're going to do with you. Maybe it's in the pen as long relief. Maybe it's in AAA. But yeah, you should not expect Ogasawara in that rotation. And Cal Quantrill, you forgot he exists for the Marlins, but he does. Yep, and that's it. 3 earned runs in 3 innings. All right, that is it for today. If you want to join mock drafts, join me on Playback today and tomorrow and Thursday to find out more details about that. You got to be part of our PL Plus or PL Pro Discord. In addition, you can just show up on playback.tv.pitcherless and see if I'm streaming. If you follow, you'll get notifications, and I'll be live streaming when I do. It's just going to be asking the community to jump into a random Yahoo mock draft at the same time so we can all get those spots in a 12-teamer. And they go like super fast. It's like 45 minutes was yesterday's. So hope to see you guys there later today, probably around like 2:15 or 2:30 p.m., maybe 3 p.m. Eastern time. That is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.